Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
This is a part of Buddhist teachings called Lojong, training the mind, where we transform all situations into the spiritual path. So that's why a lot of these instructions are when things that would normally cause us suffering and problems happen, things that normally would get us angry, creating more inner pain and problems, in that situation, we can turn that around and internally, change our perspective, change our view, change the way we respond so that it actually makes our delusions weaker and our virtuous positive mind stronger. Like in this book, like the cover of this book is has a peacock feather on it. Because in one of the sections, Venerable Geshe says we need to be like peacocks. Because apparently peacocks can eat poisonous plants and be nourished by them. Plants that would kill a crow, for example, an ordinary bird. For a peacock, that it's not a problem, that they're nourished. And so Geshe's encouraging, well, Geshe Langri Tangpa and Geshe, they're encouraging us to be like this, to be like a peacock, to take situations that would normally be an opportunity for self-pity, depression, anger, frustration, you know, just makes our mind weaker, and to actually turn it into an opportunity to practice patience, to practice compassion, to improve our wisdom. And then we become strong. Later in the book, he talks about right now our mind is like an open wound. Yeah. The hardest, at the slightest hint of hardship, our mind recoils in dismay. It's very poetic. But we need to train our mind to be like a blacksmith's anvil. You know, no matter how hard it struck, it doesn't break. The mind training techniques. So we just need wisdom, you know, wisdom and compassion, wisdom, love, and compassion. And so that's what this book is full of. Okay. So in the beginning of this book, you know, Venerable Geshe, you know, first just looks at our general wish to be happy. And, you know, everyone wishes to be happy and no one wants to suffer. So in the beginning, he just describes, which I mentioned in many classes, especially the beginning of a series, you know, this first point about becoming a spiritual practitioner is just understanding, okay, we all want to be happy and none of us want to suffer. But as he says, very few people understand what the real cause of happiness is and what the real cause of suffering is. Okay. Like, what's the real cause of happiness and the real cause of suffering? Because we all want to be happy, but if we don't understand what the real cause of happiness is, then we'll go after other things that we think are causes of happiness, get disappointed, and our wishes are never fulfilled. Or if we think there's the real cause of suffering, but it's not the real cause of suffering, and we don't address the real cause of suffering, even if we try to remove, you know, what we think is the real cause of suffering, if it's not it, we'll still be suffering. So we need to understand what the real cause of happiness is and what the real cause of suffering is. So he says, we tend to look for happiness outside ourselves, thinking that if we had the right house, the right car, the right job, and the right friends that we like, we would be truly happy. We spend almost all our time adjusting the external world, trying to make it conform to our wishes. All our life, we have tried to surround ourselves with people and things that make us feel comfortable, secure, or stimulated. Yet still we have not found pure and lasting happiness. Okay, so this is this mind that's looking for happiness outside of ourself. Like in a house, in a car, in a job, in friends, partner. Looking for things that will make us feel comfortable, secure, stimulated. Trying to find it in the phone, trying to find it, Netflix or something, But we've still not found pure and lasting happiness. So as I said before, maybe we just don't think pure and lasting happiness can be found. So let's just see what's on Netflix to get some impure, temporary happiness at the very least. It's better than suffering, So we keep trying to find, to fulfill our deepest wishes in things outside of ourselves. And he says, even if we succeed in fulfilling our desires, it's not long before our desires change and we want something else. If you get your house just right, you get everything just right. Just need this. Got it. Because our mind is operating under what's called uncontrolled desire, fulfilling an uncontrolled desire is like drinking salt water, right? It just opens up new desires. We never think, I have everything that I need. I am completely content. Because this uncontrolled desire, which is a delusion, never lets us be at peace. Never lets us be content. Contentment is an inner peace. It's an inner wealth. But that has to come from a mind free from uncontrolled desire. So if we're using uncontrolled desire, thinking happiness, like a desire's attachment is a mind that thinks something outside of ourself is a real source of happiness and then wishes to possess it, wishes not to be separated from it. Following that mind can never bring us peace or contentment. Even if our desires are temporarily fulfilled, it's not long before our desires change and we want something else. We may find the house of our dreams, but a few months later, we feel that we need a bigger kitchen, an extra bedroom, or a larger garden. Or perhaps we find the perfect partner, fall in love, and move in together. At the beginning, our partner seems to be the most wonderful person in the world. But before long, we begin to see faults in him or her. We discover that we're no longer in love, and soon we are looking for someone else to fulfill our desires. He says, the result of an unbridled pursuit of happiness from external sources is that our planet's being destroyed, and our lives are becoming more complicated and dissatisfying. Okay. So this is the first thing we need to consider is, we need to be checking how our methods are. Like we all want to be happy all the time and to be free from suffering. If that's been our, if that's the basis of, if those are the basic wishes behind everything we think, say, and do, you think we'd be pretty happy by now, right? If you do some, if you're trying to fulfill something all the time, putting all your energy into it, and yet we're still not really that happy, and we, our life, we still feel dissatisfied and our life is complicated. Either real happiness and freedom from suffering doesn't exist, or we're looking in the wrong place. I guess those are the two options, right? But he says, it's time we sought happiness from a different source. Okay, so what is happiness? That's a bit the title of this class. What's the nature of happiness? Happiness is a part of the mind that experiences inner peace or peace of mind. So the real source of happiness must lie within the mind, not in external conditions. If our mind is pure and peaceful, we will be happy regardless of our external circumstances. But if it is impure and unpeaceful, we'll never be happy, no matter how hard we try to change our external conditions. We could change our home or our partner countless times, But until we change our restless, discontented mind, we will never find real happiness. That's a conclusion we need to come to. Because if we can, even if we've heard this many times, but we need to think about it. You know, like this is something you can think about when you're just feeling slightly restless, you know, and you go to the phone. What do they call it? Doom scrolling. You know. And what are we looking for? I don't know, but I'll let you know when I find it. Like, what are we looking for? Not that, not that, not that, not that, not that, not that. Ooh. No, not that. So we're following this uncontrolled delusion, this uncontrolled desire. We're searching for happiness where it can't be found. But we go for that because we've got a restless, discontented mind. So Kesha's just saying it's the restless, discontented mind that needs to be addressed. You know, nobody's gonna. Yeah, nobody's just basically okay. An hour of scrolling, my restless, discontented mind has been satisfied. It's more like, I guess I gotta go to sleep. I was in a dorm with somebody and he was watching like this. And then he passed out. And a couple times he would wake up when the phone hit him. And he never got to the end. You know, like, now I have what I, you know. But his ability to stay awake came to an end. So we need to change our restless, discontented mind. That's because happiness is a state of mind, but it's the part, how do you say it? It's the part of the mind that experiences inner peace. That's why when you do that breathing meditation, we have our mind is peaceful, relatively peaceful. There's some contentment. There's some stillness in our mind. And so we can, you know, if someone said, how are you? You'd say, I'm happy. You know, it's like, I have what I need, inner peace. But if our mind is agitated, or if our mind is restless and discontented, and then we're in luxury conditions, you know, it's just a restless, discontented mind. Like, what's next? I need this. I need that. We just can't. We can't enjoy the beautiful surroundings or the people that we're with because our mind won't let us. We all have the potential for permanent inner peace, deep experience of inner peace, but what prevents us from experiencing that inner peace are our inner enemies, these delusions. Delusions are exaggerated ways of seeing ourselves and others, like uncontrolled desire is a mind that projects onto people or anything outside of ourself as thinking that these things are real sources of happiness and then we pursue them. Mm-hmm. Like it's a projecting mind that thinks there's something in the phone that's going to make me happy, like real and give me real happiness. The most something in the phone or something in the fridge can do is temporarily reduce some boredom, some hunger, you know. But then the suffering comes back. It's just a temporary reduction. That's what we call happiness. This isn't being pessimistic, but what we call happiness, Buddha called changing suffering. But it's very accurate. It's just, and changing suffering is good, you know, but it's not real happiness, okay? So you've got some suffering, some pain, some kind of discomfort, and then you go for one of these things and that reduces that discomfort, that suffering, right? Temporarily. It just reduces temporarily. That thing itself is also a suffering, but it's being used to reduce a bigger suffering, right? You following me? Mm-hmm. You're hungry. So you get the suffering of hunger and then the mind of uncontrolled desires like pizza, pizza, pizza. And so, you know, of course we need to eat, but it's a mind of uncontrolled desire that thinks there's an ingredient called happiness so, you know, in the pizza. And then that uncontrolled desire will do whatever it takes to get the pizza. And then we think that it's a real source of happiness. But what it is a changing suffering. I've got that suffering of hunger, and I'm going to order the suffering of pizza. But when I first take the first slice of pizza, it's great. It feels amazing. This is amazing. How is it? It's delicious. Oh, I needed that. Yeah. So pleasant feelings. Nobody's arguing that. Pleasant feelings. Wonderful. But that's because your suffering was up here and it went shoom. That's great. So he's just saying, well, if pizza was a real source of happiness, then have another slice. Oh, I will. Because I'm still hungry. Have another one. You gotcha. Choom. Or maybe choom. Have another one. Have another one. That's five times the happiness. Have another one. Okay, if you insist. Neutral feeling. Have another one. The suffering of pizza starts to arise. Have another one. Have another one. Have another one. Have another death by pizza. And suffering can be overwhelming. And then what stops the suffering of pizza is not eating. So it's just suffering management. That's what Buddha is trying to say. This essentially Buddha's like, you know, a very kind parent that's saying, this isn't good enough for you. You know, like, you know, parents like, I don't know, to a teenager, and they get this job, which is kind of a good job, but then they just think, this is my career. I want to, you know, work the games at Canada's Wonderland for the rest of my life. It's like, okay, you're getting some happiness here, but there's a lot more happiness, you know, like if you go to college, you know, there's a lot more happiness. There's something bigger than this, you know. So Buddha's trying to tell us this, like this low-grade reduction in suffering that we call happiness. It's not the real meaning of human life. I mean, we need this or else we'd be in agony all the time, but it's just not real happiness. But it's our delusions that keeps thinking it is. And that's what keeps our mind restless and discontent. You know, like after you have some people, what's next? You know, something to drink. What's next? I'll go for a walk. What's next? Doom scrolling. You know, what's next? Sleep. You know, what's next? I'm up, you know. So these delusions are getting the better of us. There's a section here where he mentions our delusions are now very strong and difficult to control. We have so little inner peace that it is rare to enjoy a peaceful mind even for just a few hours. If we check our mind, we will see that we are living in a state of almost constant discomfort and anxiety. As soon as we stop worrying about one thing, something else starts to bother us. Do you ever experience that? You're just like, you know, just got a little time, just looking out at the lake. Gosh, I forgot I have so much work to do or something, or you just, the mind just comes up with something to worry about. It's an uncontrolled mind. As soon as we stop worrying about one thing, something else starts to bother us. Our delusions give us no rest. We have uncomfortable minds and experience very little real happiness. Our lives nowadays are extremely busy and complicated, filled with an ever-increasing variety of distractions. Even, this is a little bit old, but because now we're into, anyway, even when we have the time to relax, we tend to switch on the television or radio and are subjected to a multitude of ever-changing images and sounds. We're so used to being stimulated from the outside, we find it difficult to be quiet and enjoy the stillness of our own mind. Our attention span is decreasing all the time, and it's becoming more and more difficult to concentrate on internal development, such as cultivating pure views and intentions. It's such a foreign concept in our society to just enjoy the stillness of your mind. When's the last time you enjoyed the stillness of your mind? Maybe when you come to a meditation, when you do your own meditation. That's why I kind of encourage you just to look at your mind after meditating and just enjoy this inner stillness.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.